Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
504, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA, Friday evening. Still plenty of sunshine. It's warm out there. The weekend is looking nice. It really is. And we got this early voting underway. I'm not a fan of early voting, but it's the rule now, right? I mean, when you think about this, there are a lot of us who sit on the sides and go, I don't like that. And I don't like that. And I think it's wrong. And I can tell you all the reasons that I think it's wrong and why it's bad. But it is what it is. And you got to play the game if you want to win. And these are the rules for the game. So my fervent hope is that people get over their distaste for the early voting stuff and go and vote. You make no mistake. The left will get people to the polls. They might be kicking and screaming or they might be dead. It doesn't matter, but they're going to get them to the polls. And if our side really does think that we got a chance in hell of doing anything, then we better get off our collective rear ends and get out there and compete. That's all. I'm looking at an email here from Donald Trump, former president of the United States, says, my resolve is only stronger after another attempt on my life. Yeah. Well, I mean, this is one of those things you have to think about. You've got to talk about it. Second attempt on President Trump's life. And you know as well as I do that a whole slew of these people and left would be absolutely ecstatic if one of these guys had been successful. And there's a lot of crocodile tears right about now. And then, of course, they do what they always do. They turn to their inner contempt for Donald Trump and they spew that forth. And somehow, some way, Donald Trump is responsible for all of this. I've got a couple of little snippets here I've got to share with you. Got to share them with you. First, do you remember John Brennan? This is in our soggy salad collection there, Germ. Do you remember John Brennan? He was the director of National Intelligence. And he is a hardcore committed leftist. And by the sounds of it, he's not too fond of the Jewish people. I'll tell you that right now. So I want you to take a listen. Now, Israel was able to accomplish an amazing feat, the most pinpoint targeted military action in history, as they said, beep. Beep, boom, right? That's what they're calling it. Beep, beep, boom. Hey, your pager's going off. And so is your midsection. Okay. And then the next day, as the decrepit, awful people who comprise Hezbollah are out and about thinking, well, all right, good thing we didn't get one of those pagers, their walkie-talkies explode. Guess what? John Brennan's upset about that. This is a soggy salad, Germ, cut number six, soggy.
I think it does beg the question, though, Director. Is detonating a wireless device, is that an acceptable form of warfare?
Well, I don't believe so, because there's no way the Israelis would have known who was going to have these pagers at the time, which is why we see that there were some children and others who were killed. It's basically almost a fire and forget mechanism that the Israelis engaged in here. So it's going to tactically disrupt Hezbollah's communication capabilities and in terms of their ability to communicate with one another. But you have to question whether or not this is strategically wise in terms of what it might do in terms of just further emboldening Hezbollah's interest in trying to lash back against Israel, including on the international terrorist front, because Hezbollah is a very, very capable organization in terms of launching terrorist attacks outside of the region. They've done it over the years. And so I do think that Hassan Nasrallah, the head of Hezbollah, is going to feel quite a bit of pressure from his organization to lash back at Israel sooner rather than later.
What do you say about the possibility, after these attacks, the possibility that something like this does in fact lead to a large-scale conflict between Israel and Lebanon?
Well, the big question is whether or not the Israelis plan some type of large military operation to follow these disruptive activities over the past 2 days. If an army, a military, is going to launch a military operation, they'll try to degrade the communication systems of the enemy first. So was this some type of preparation of the battlefield to allow the Israelis then to be able to strike against Hezbollah and Hezbollah not being able to defend itself? So I do think this is a greater potential now for escalation. A lot depends on how Hezbollah responds, but clearly Netanyahu, Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel, wants to vanquish not just Hamas, but also Hezbollah. And quite frankly, I wish that he would use more time and effort to try to see whether or not there's a way to bring down some of the tensions as opposed to using the military and violence to lash out against his enemies.
Oh, he's lashing out. He's lashing out. These are the same despicable creatures who have been launching thousands of rockets into Israel nonstop. But Bibi Netanyahu is, quote, lashing out at his enemies. Well, thank God Bibi Netanyahu is lashing out at his enemies. May God bless him and all of his efforts to lash out at his enemies. Israel is in a fight right now for their lives. The Israelis are in a fight for their lives, and by extension, the Jewish people are in a fight for our lives. And I'm here to tell you, as a proud Jewish American or a proud American Jew, I don't know. People put them in different orders, and I never know which would be better. But I'm here to tell you, I'm not marching onto a car. I'm not getting into a cattle car. Thank you very much. I've seen that. I shared with you the other day the difference between my mom and my dad. My mom represented, unfortunately, a large chunk of the Jewish community in this regard. She always said, oh, don't do anything. Don't say anything. Don't let them know you're Jewish. Don't, you know, just walk away. Just blah, blah, blah. It was all these things that, frankly, came from a position of weakness. My dad was a lot of things, but I'll tell you what, wasn't a weak man, that's for sure. And my dad was a military police officer in the United States Army. And while my mom was telling my brother, oh no, don't say this, don't say that, just walk, you know, do this. My father was saying, you got to turn around and punch him right in the nose. Because we had these thugs, I guess is the kindest way to describe them, thugs who came from the local Catholic school. Just the facts, not casting aspersions, I'm telling you what the facts are. And they came over to the public school where we attended, and they started beating up a number of us. And let me tell you, they got some really good shots in, and a lot of us went home, you know, sniffing and crying. And my mother was appalled, and of course, thought there was some sort of medical thing that would have to be done. And my father, by the time he got home, was like, yeah, you got to learn how to fight. That's no, don't do that, my mother was shouting to him. Don't teach him that. And my father's like, yeah. And we went down the cellar. And my dad, who was on the Army boxing team in Korea, taught me how to fight. And the lessons were always very clear. And I want to be very clear with you. The lessons were always, don't start a fight. Right? That's not why you were learning how to fight. You were learning how to fight back. You were learning how to defend yourself. Don't start a fight. But by God, if you're in a fight, you'd have to know how to fight. We'd all like to solve every single problem with polite, pleasant talk. Right? Wouldn't that be nice? It's like having tea with the terrorists. Oh, we'll put out some tasty dessert items. Fresh tea. We'll have flowers on the table. Meanwhile, they're plotting how to slash your children's throats. Or you can say, I don't want to be in a situation where I have to fight, but by God, I have to fight. And that's where the Israelis are right now. And it is sad that there are Americans like John Brennan and frankly, Kamala Harris and Joe Biden so many on the left who would rather the Israelis smile and not fight back. And that's not going to happen. That's just not going to happen. You've got some time to get your tickets for Politics and Pints. I am telling you that we're just about done. Today might very well be the last day that we talk about it, because I think it's just about sold out. If you've been on the fence, you've been going back and forth, even just mentally thinking, well, I'd like to go, I'm not sure. It's October the 16th, Beacon Theater in Hopewell. The other thing I'm going to tell you is that the design of Politics and Pints from the beginning has been that we continually find new places to do it. So this is going to be the third time we're doing it at the Beacon Theater, which to me says it's probably the last time for a while that we will do it at the Beacon Theater. So if the Beacon is the place that is the most convenient and you'd like to see, it's a beautiful historic theater, this would be the time. Jump online, get your tickets at WRVA.com. WRVA.com. It is 5:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 5:21, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Yesterday we had some of this information coming in about this Mark Robinson running for governor down in North Carolina. And it's alleged that an email account connected to him was also connected to that Ashley Madison site. Remember that? I don't know if that still exists, but I can remember when that kind of came on the scene. It was encouraging people who were married to have affairs. And then the site got hijacked, and they released all the information. So I'm just going to presume that his email and username and what have you was part of that. But that's years ago. Why would that be coming up now? Well, CNN, as you know, is in the political activism business. They checked out of the journalism world a long time ago. And they are the ones who dropped this. And they dropped it on the very day that was the last day, to have a name taken off the ballot. I will tell you that the Trump-Vance campaign has apparently, politely but firmly, disinvited him from this event coming up. I think it's in Wilmington, North Carolina. But Mark Robinson actually released a statement, and he says, this is not me. What can I tell you? Take a listen, if you would, please, to cut number three.
Hey, guys, Lieutenant Governor Robinson and your Republican nominee for governor as well, of course. Well, guys, the news media is at it again. My opponent is at it again. You all have seen the half-truths and outright lies of Josh Stein on these ads over and over again. And now a story leaked by him to CNN is appearing now. Let me reassure you, the things that you will see in that story, those are not the words of Mark Robinson. You know my words, you know my character, and you know that I have been completely transparent in this race and before. Folks, this race right now, our opponents are desperate to shift the focus here from the substantive issues and focus on what you are concerned with to salacious tabloid trash. We cannot allow that to happen. And folks, we've seen this type of stuff in the past as well. Clarence Thomas famously once said he was the victim of a high-tech lynching. Well, it looks like Mark Robinson is too, by a man who refuses to stand on stage and debate me about the real issues that face you. Instead, they want to focus on salacious tabloid lies. We're not going to let them do that. We are staying in this race. We are in it to win it. And we know that with your help, we will. God bless you. And we will see you where? On the campaign trail.
All right. Well, that's North Carolina's Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson saying, I'm not dropping out. And he does point out that Josh Stein, who's the Democrat nominee down there, he has refused to participate in a debate with Mark Robinson. I don't know which way it goes. I don't live in North Carolina. It's not my race, but there are people who are concerned, and one of them would be U.S. Senator Tom Tillis from North Carolina, says, hey, we got to focus on races we can win. He's talking about Donald Trump. Now, there's all sorts of information Donald Trump can win without North Carolina, but boy, it'd be a heck of a lot easier with North Carolina. We'll take a break from all the political stuff in a moment. Bolly Jarrett's going to be here. How about some leadership with class and vision? I love that. 5:26, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 5:35, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Friday. We have made it. Yes, yes, we have. Congratulations. Self-high-fives all the way around. The SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, is apparently going to be seeking sanctions. They want to punish Elon Musk. Why? Well, that's a good question. I'm not exactly sure. It says he failed to appear and testify in court in the SEC's probe into his purchase of Twitter, which, of course, he renamed to X. And the SEC is asking for a court order to show cause why he should not be held in contempt after he said he would not appear about 3 hours before he was scheduled to appear on September the 10th. So I'm not really sure exactly what's going to shake out with that, but it's something to be aware of. Pay attention to it. And obviously we'll keep you up to speed on that. As you know, I happen to be an unapologetic fan of John Maxwell and the things that he's written and the things that he has taught over the years. And I am very, very happy to be part of the Maxwell team. And there is a gentleman in our community who is offering you the opportunity to sort of step onto the high.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
High road leadership. John Maxwell has a great book out about it. And my buddy Molly Jarrett, who was just voted, I should tell you this, just voted the best accountant in all of Central Virginia by the readers of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. He is offering this high road leadership program, and I just felt compelled to get him on to learn a little bit more about it and hopefully get a few more people involved. Bolly, thank you for being here, sir.
Hey, thanks, Jeff, for having me.
Well, the pleasure is mine. And first of all, congratulations, best accountant in all of Central Virginia. That's pretty cool.
Hey, thanks. I'm totally humbled, Jeff. I really am, to have folks that thought enough of me to nominate me and then vote in the community here for our firm. So,
yeah. Well, I think it is a tribute to you, the tribute to the team and what they do. Let's talk a little bit about your involvement with somebody who I think we both look at as a mentor and an inspiration, John Maxwell.
Yes, sir. I've been involved with the John Maxwell team for 2 years now. I have always been studying John's books and gaining valuable knowledge from him and the mentorship that he's been able to provide me in personal growth and leadership development. And it's just been a great blessing. And I've been fortunate enough to come alongside the John Maxwell team now as a member of that team. And I'm happy to be providing services in our community now to develop leaders, help them add value to their employees, add value to their community, and just become high road leaders.
Well, what exactly would you define as a high road leader?
Well, Jeff, there's a lot of things that end up coming to play with the high road leadership. A high road leader, if you think about times today, we live in a really divisive environment. The political environment's gotten it even worse, and the whole environment is quite toxic, to be right honest with you. Mm-hmm. And we see a lot of low road leaders out there, a lot of low road leadership being exhibited. But a high road leader, somebody who brings people together, Jeff, who values all people, not just the people they like.
Yeah,
they acknowledge their own humanness. They do the right things, Jeff, for the right reasons.
Yeah.
Their motives matter. They give more than they take. They place people above their own agenda, embracing authenticity, take accountability for the actions that they have, and live by a bigger picture. They desire the best for other people, Jeff. That's yeah. my view and definition of what a high road leader looks like.
Well, I think it is spot on, Bolly, and it is something that I hate to say it, but the truth is it's hard to find leaders like that. You invariably find sort of like mid-level managers, right? And they don't quite know which way they're supposed to go, and they're really thinking about themselves first. That high road leader says, okay, what is the big picture, and how are we making everybody better? Not just by spouting a couple of little platitudes here and there, but by actually rolling up their sleeves and doing the work. And so I would dare say that you've got kind of a heavy lift. I think there are a lot of people out there that are aspiring to work for a high road leader, but you're actually giving them the opportunity to develop those skills themselves. That's pretty impressive.
We really are, Jeff. We've got a couple of programs that are going to go on here with kind of a 4-week light program, and you know, just kind of introduces the whole concept of what that might look like. But we've also got a full 8-week mastermind type program that we're putting in place that we can dig a little bit deeper, go a little bit deeper into the material, facilitate some time and communication between, you know, the various leaders that are at the table. Yep. Studying this material and working together. So I think it's you know, that's what we got going right now. So
well, I love it. So give everybody the details, Bali. It's not just a matter of reading John's book. It's working with someone like you, getting together, as you say, for 4 weeks for one program, 8 weeks for another program, but actually diving into it. So how do people sign up?
They can sign up through reaching out to us here at my website right now, which is myrvacpa.com.
Okay.
I know you probably heard that on the radio. One quite a bit, yeah. But myrvacpa.com. Our office number is area code 804-716-6178, and that's the program that's happening right now. Jeff, I'm also working towards a leadership conference going to take place, a one-day leadership conference going to take place on January the 9th over at the the Cultural Arts Center of Glen Allen, and so we're working on that. Registration has not started on that particular program yet, but be on the lookout for it. It's going to be a full-day event, some virtual speakers, some live speakers. John Maxwell is going to be here virtually with us. It's just going to be an awesome, awesome experience. So that's coming up. I'm working, communicating with Alana Miller over at the Friendship Circle, and hopefully we can help with that teen board that's going on over there as well. So that's kind of our goal right now with our Day to Grow, Live to Lead program that's going to happen next year.
Oh, this is great stuff. So myrvacpa.com is the website. You can go there, you can get signed up for that. And even though the details are not out there yet, as Bali's talking about it, January the 9th, which is going to be here a lot faster than anybody realizes, you probably want to block that out on your phone, or if you've got a calendar on the wall, whatever it is. But I would say take January the 9th, block it out, make sure you're available. And then as soon as the details are available, of course, we'll get Bali back, and he'll be back with us before that to talk about that. Bali, one of the things I've shared with everybody, and not everybody knows this, you and I chatted a lot. We've had a good time talking about it. As a graduate of the Clown College, man, that is an incredible distinction.
It is definitely something that's opened a lot of doors for me, Jeff. I never toured with the show. I did do some advance work and publicity work for the show, but Clown College started back in 1968. And ran up until 1997. Back in 68, Irvin Feld, who owned the circus at that point in time, saw that his clown alley had dwindled to just a handful of clowns.
Yep.
And the average age was 56. They were all growing older and not a lot of young folks coming in to take their place. So he started that school back in Florida to replenish the alley there, but also to produce high-level circus performers that could help come alongside the show. So it was like I said, it's opened a lot of doors for me. You know, they accepted two applicants out of 100.
Wow.
Typically, so it was really tough to get into, but it definitely is it gives you something to talk about with the water bottles and
yeah,
big shoes and costumes and stuff. So
well, I just think it's great, and I've got to think that when we talk about John Maxwell and we talk about leadership and we talk about something like Clown College, again, it's about finding that inner strength. It's about finding what your talents are and bringing them to the forefront, man. This is all going to come together beautifully. And I am I'm just thrilled that you're doing this, and I want to encourage as many people as are able to do it to head on over to myrvacpa.com and sign up for this this program. And then, Bali, I know I'll be happy to talk to you about the Mastermind program that'll be following after that, January the 9th, this big event at the Cultural Arts Center. So it's myrvacpa.com. Is there a cutoff, Bali? When do people have to get the registrations in?
Actually, Jeff, we're running on like 2 weeks. We're running it on a 2 week cycle. So I'm starting a new group every 2 weeks.
Okay.
Running out for 4 weeks and then running out for 8 weeks. So it's a continual process of folks. We want to get through this program and bring as many people into the ideas of valuing all people and developing, putting people above their own agenda here in the community as we can. So it's a continual process. I've got the next session will start up 2 weeks from Monday.
Okay. Well, fair enough. So myrvacpa.com is where people go to sign up. I'm going to share that on my social media channels as well, Bali, because I'd love to see you have a full house for each one of these. I appreciate you being here, man. I really do. And looking forward to chatting again in the not-too-distant future.
Fantastic, Jeff. And I appreciate the opportunity to come on and look forward to our friendship. We definitely are able to continue to work as John Maxwell team members in the area.
Yes, sir.
To make this place the best place we can.
Absolutely. God bless you, my friend. That is Bali Jarrett. He's a good dude, and I'm telling you, if you have even tickled the cover of that book, High Road Leadership from John Maxwell, you are going to learn so much when you are involved in it. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Self-high-five.
I look forward all week to doing my BAM! Was it up to snuff, Germ? Just give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down. I mean, it is what I am so beat today, and I apologize for that, but I am. This weekend is going to be, I'm hoping, one of a little more relaxation. Now, you notice, because people sent me notes here, some stuff coming in on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140. Other stuff coming in via Facebook or over on X. It was all right. It was just saying, hey, Jeff, where's Stan? Right? You know the way that works, right? Friday afternoons, I always have my brother from another mother, Stan Andrewski, who during the week is found at Certified Auto Repair, 8401 Oakview Avenue in the Lakeside section of Enrico, on to preview his show, which airs Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. It is the best weekend radio show anywhere. And apologies to Sam Newsman, but they don't compete with each other. It's certainly the best show at 8 o'clock, and, you know, Sam's pretty doggone good. Sam is the most respected, most trusted puppet in media. He's been reporting since Roswell. It's a long time. But anyway, I digress. But Stan does a great job. Well, Stan has taken the week off. He's up in Boston. He's got a family event, a big wedding going on. So he's not here today, and it's going to be a best of in the garage tomorrow. And ordinarily, I would be disturbed. Like, hey, where am I going to go? What am I going to do? I got that, you know. But I am actually going to be able to hopefully relax a little bit. And I think it's allergies. If you haven't noticed, the allergies have ticked up with it. Ragweed seems to be the predominant thing that we're dealing with right now. And I didn't know I was allergic to it. I'm still not sure that I am. And I'm not going to go through all of the pinpricks and the rest of that nonsense. However, I think that's what it is. So that's my excuse and that's my explanation. And there you go. So having said all of that, let me remind you about a couple of things. We're just about done telling you about Politics and Pints because we're just about out of tickets. And today might very well be the last day. I don't know if we'll have any tickets left next week for you to get. So I would urge you, if you've been on the fence, teetering, tottering, or teetering and tottering, right now is the time to go to WRVA.com, WRVA.com. Get your tickets for Politics and Pints. It's going to be October the 16th. It's at the Beacon Theater in Hopewell. And as I've mentioned to you, it's probably the last time we're going to be in Hopewell for a while. We got Brian Kilmeade coming in for it. Dana Lash is coming in for it. Obviously, John Reed and I will be there as well. only way to get your tickets, because we don't sell them at the door and we don't give them away as prizes, you've got to go to WRVA.com. All right. Now, it is Friday, so I wish you a Shabbat Shalom. If you are Hebraically challenged, simply means have yourself a great weekend. We will end today as we have ended every Friday since the awful, murderous attacks of October the 7th by playing Hatikvah. That is the national anthem of Israel, and it means the hope.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com